This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's now 9:36 a.m. Time for the show where we speak to members of the press. Pressing matters. This week we have back on the show Joyce Goh, Associate Editor of the Corporate and Capital Markets Desk at The Edge Media. She's joining us in the studio. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng here. Hello, Joyce. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Always good,
good morning,
to have
Julian.
You back on the show.
Thank you.
So I think the last time you were on, it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And you wrote a story about The Star and its move into the over-the-top business, right?
So the
OTT content.
Yes.
That's right. So that was The Star a couple of weeks ago. Now this week you wrote about Media Prima.
Yes. Sorry, it's just because of the news flow, the news that I'm getting.
I see.
Yeah.
So this week's issue of The Edge Weekly, you wrote Media Prima is mulling unlocking land value. They are apparently looking at selling their land parcels in Ajil, Terengganu and Senai, Johor.
Yes,
right?
I think that's an option that they're looking at because when I first heard, I heard that they were selling. But when I reached out to them, they came back with a response that they are evaluating all available options and will decide what is best for the group in due course.
Right.
When it comes to, I think, unlocking the land value that they have in Terengganu and Johor.
I love this phrase, unlocking land value. What does it even mean? For me, it just means to sell it. But what is the other option apart from...
You could get recurring income, like what Star did with their plot of land. You know, near in Section 13, Section 14,
right,
PJ?
Yeah. Yeah, there's Sinchu.
Near Jaya Wan area. Yeah. They have a piece of land there, which I think they are JVing with a property developer or something of that sort. And then you can have recurring income from that.
Right.
So that's one way of unlocking value. Another way perhaps could be just to sell the land and get the capital gains. Actually, I wrote a piece in June 2015, that a number of media players are sitting on an unexpected source of income in their balance sheets. And these are parcels of land. And this includes, you know, like Media Prima and Star, even MCIL, mm-hmm. they have a plot of land near
Rockman's Roundabout.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yes, and that is a very good plot of land there as well.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, so are these empty plots of land? I mean,
no.
For Media Prima specifically? Are they
For Media Prima, no. I think their printing plant is on that piece of land.
A printing plant?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Which they said that they have closed it down. They're going through a key restructuring exercise that involves closing the manufacturing plants in Ajil and Senai. So they're looking at cost savings from that. That's why they're looking to go digital. That's what they shared with me. And from there, I guess they have that land. What are they going to do with that land?
So yeah, a couple of things that that struck me when I read your article, Joyce. In reading this news,
yes.
I'm thinking the first questions that come to mind, okay, does Media Prima need the money? Secondly, I was like, okay, so if they have printing presses or printing plants on this land, does this signify kind of the decline of print, right? So if they want to sell the land or use the land to do other things, perhaps print is no longer the way forward for them. And
you're
then
talking to a print person?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, Joyce.
I hope not. But I think it could be a business decision because you look at from the point of view of the lands that they have.
I just realized, yes.
Of course, I'll say no, I don't think so.
Well, if you look at the circulation numbers, the Media Prima publications are not exactly up there. So they possibly want to focus on some of the other things.
Yes.
Like what we talked about last week, an online strategy.
Perhaps, yes. Because if you look at these parcels of lands, they're quite big. They're, I think in Ajil it's like 600 over 1,000 square feet. And whereas
in Senai, in Senai, Johor.
In Senai, yep. Yeah, it's 100 over, they're two. So I think nearly 300 over two
pieces, two parcels,
300
right?
over 1,000, yeah. Square
okay.
feet of land. So I guess from their point, but they shared that they see a shift of their readership to go into digital. So if
right.
I check the ABC numbers.
That's the circulation
yeah,
numbers.
Yeah, the circulation numbers. You can see that the digital copies have grown more than their printed copies.
Okay.
Yeah, but that could be a trend because that goes for other printed media as well, for other print publications as well, for some of their publications.
So when you were writing this news, I mean, mm-hmm. did that kind of tell you, show you signals that, okay, Media Prima really is kind of going into this diversification, right? They may have their print side, but now they're looking at what else can we do to
bring in more money? I think they're trying to be innovative as well. If I look at the numbers of their other businesses, like, for example, their radio business and their out-of-home business, the contribution from those businesses have increased over the years. So for radio, it used to contribute only 9% to their earnings. This was in 2010, FY 2010. That has grown to like 27% recently.
Okay.
Yeah. And this, and for out of home,
that's their big tree business,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It was 13% in 2010, and that has grown to 35% in June. So I guess you can see that the other businesses have been growing in their contribution to the profits of the group as well. But I guess different media companies have different business strategies.
But
I think everyone acknowledges the fact that they have to diversify or look into what they can do from a business perspective, because the landscape has changed so much.
Usually when you look at this kind of headline about companies unlocking land value, it's kind of mildly exciting to stock market people who are watching the stocks, because they want to know how much value will be unlocked as part of the whole process and how much dividends will flow through them, right? Mm. A possible potential dividend. So what is the value of what is going to be unlocked?
The net book value of the one in, let me see, the one in Senai, the two plots of land, is about over 20 million. And the one in Ajil Trungano is about 24 million. This is a net book value, but I do not know when was the last time they looked at
revalued the land. It could have been a while.
They should have quite a lot of land. So it has grown over 18% in terms of net book value to 281 million. Their total land, I'm talking about all their land, their buildings and everything, from a year ago.
So this 18% growth in 2015 to about 280 million ringgit, almost 300 million ringgit, that's very substantial as part of their overall market cap, which is 1.36. So if we did a very quick calculation, 280 million divided by 136, you're talking about almost a 20% potential dividend yield if they return this back to shareholders.
They have a lot of land, but of course some of their land is tied up. I mean, for example, their regional printing plant in Bukit Jelutong, that one is big, but 96 million. I mean, but that could be their main
need that one.
And also their KL, where their office, their home office is, that one downtown in KL, that one's on a very good plot of land as well.
Okay. So I didn't realize that the media companies owned quite
a lot. If you track back land, my June 2015, perhaps go to the hmarkets.com and Google for that story. You can see MCIL has a few. Star, I mean, look at Star. They're sitting on
Prime
few,
land,
and then Red Berry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're also in PJ, Section 13, that plot of land, quite big as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think other people are talking about Tanaga actually as well, having quite a lot of land all over the place. But whether or not they could exploit that for developmental purposes is another matter altogether. Yeah. But certainly for these print companies, it's an idea that is totally possible for them, because they just need to consolidate a lot of their printing presses.
But do they need to do it? I mean, Media Prima specifically, in terms of financially where they are, I mean...
From a perspective of business perspective, if they're looking to close down the printing plant, then perhaps an option that they could be considering, as they shared with me when I wrote to them, when I heard first that they could be looking to sell the land, is... you know, unlocking the value. But of course, they did not commit to it yet. They just said that they are evaluating all available options.
And if whether they can get a good price if they wanted to sell, or they can get a good JV partner if they wanted to develop it, right? All depends.
Oh, they didn't say
they
that.
Didn't
in
say
the,
it.
Yeah,
okay,
but basically, they kept it open. Yeah, they kept it open. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of confirming what we heard, that they were looking at potentially unlocking the value of those two pieces of land.
Okay, well, it's something to watch out for if Media Prima does come up with any kind of explanation on this story. Keep us informed, Joyce.
Yes.
But let's take a quick break and come back with a look at your other story in this week's issue. Two stocks in Anuradha Krishnan's stable is trading below IPO price. We'll tell you which after this on BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 9:48 right now. This is Pressing Matters. And with me, I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng. And with us, Joyce Goh, Associate Editor with The Edge Media Group. Now, Joyce, you also wrote, you noticed that two out of three listed companies that are majority owned by T. Anandakrishnan are now trading below their IPO price. Those two stocks are Astro and Bumi Armada. So let's take a look at the share price performance of Astro. It's trading below its IPO price of 3 ringgit. It's trading 11% below its IPO price.
That and Bumi Armada is down by quite a bit. Actually, Bumi Armada, it's about 80% below IPO price of 303 ringgit. Actually, how this story came about was partly, you know, mid last week, Daily reported that he could be looking into taking it private.
That's right.
And you know, so he has a kind of he lists
a
reputation.
He does have for
a few
this.
Of that has happened before. And also, if you track his corporate movements of what he's been doing the past few years, he's been quite active. Like he took 2010, he took his Myasat private, and then Tanjung as well. Mm-hmm. And then he carved out some of the businesses in Tanjung to sell it. So if you look at it, he's been quite busy. So yes.
I think a lot of this activity can be predicated upon the major shareholder feeling whether the share price is way undervalued or not.
Yes.
So if they want to privatize the entire company, it's just sending a signal to the market that he feels that these companies are way undervalued. And if the market doesn't ascribe a value to it, then he might as well take it private. But it could be beneficial for the shareholders as well, especially if he gives a premium to the existing market price, then shareholders may find that attractive.
Well, Astro has come out to say that they have not heard of any, or they've not received any confirmation of a privatization proposal, so despite market rumors. But if we were to compare Astro's share price and Bumi Armada's share price, which has tanked, and Bumi Armada simply because of the oil prices.
Yes,
right?
I think
that's
that
a
one,
large
yeah,
part of
it's,
it.
It's more because of the industry it is in. But I think for Astro, they come up, I mean, sometimes companies, they have to come out with an announcement because Bursa Malaysia queries them. But then again, you know, it could be at the shareholder level as well.
Okay.
So it's hard to say. But I mean, if you look at it, I mean, the performances of his the stocks could also be because of the industry, not industry, but the general market.
Okay.
You know, like
okay.
things are down in general.
Well,
as
if you
well.
Look at Max's, Max's is also his telco company. I mean, that's doing quite well. I would say it was trading above its IPO price.
It relisted in November 2009, and it's about 15.8% higher than the IPO price of $5. Mm. But if you look at it year to date, it is 12.6% down year to date.
So what I found interesting was in your article, you cited comments from the investing community that perhaps if you look at Maxis and Astro, the operating landscape for these two Ananda companies have changed over the years. What started out as being a monopolistic industry is now kind of shifted, right?
I think what they are saying is because it shifted mainly more. I think what you're talking about is mainly more from technology disruption. From the point of view as, for example, Maxis, like telco, not just Maxis, telco in general. Mm-hmm. When you make calls now, some people do like WhatsApp calls,
right?
and things like that, you know. So the landscape has changed in a way, so they have to innovate and see what else they can give to customers, right?
With Astro, I mean, it's streaming, right? It's OTT content.
Netflix,
now.
Yeah. iFlix,
so
and
more
so
of
on.
Technology disruption that has changed the business landscape for these players.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what you're saying. But because when I called out and said, why do you think these companies are being hit? But of course, in general, stock market in general is not doing that great.
Yeah, I think Bumi Armada is a different monster altogether.
Yeah, I think for Bumi Armada, it's really
oil and gas,
the industry. And unfortunately, FPF, for them,
Who can forget the FPSO saga because of the bad luck that has befallen the oil and gas industry? That contractual terms that the client made to book the entire FPSO, they wanted to get out of that contract early. And in fact, they got it out of it. And there are lawsuits flying all around, but investors would be the first one heading out of the door whenever they hear rumors such as this. So I think Bumi Armada, unfortunately, part of that whole unraveling of the oil and gas sector. We've seen things like, you know, what happened to Hanjin, what happened to that company in Singapore, Swiber, right?
Yes, Swiber, yeah.
Causing all these knock-on effects into the financial industry.
I think that one
as
is
well.
Really industry, because that stock is, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to keep an eye on AK's companies that are listed. But also, Joyce, a couple of weeks ago, was it a week? Last week's issue of The Edge Weekly, you wrote a really interesting story about Genting, Malaysia.
Oh, yes.
And Genting. You looked at the share price as well.
Yes.
And on the flip side, Genting, Malaysia has done really well. Share price climbed to a record closing high because of more tourists.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a factor when I asked the analysts why has the stock price gone up so much. And a few of them shared with me that could also be because the anticipation of the opening of their new projects up in the Highlands. That is Sky Plaza and Sky Avenue.
So right now in Genting Highlands, they're refurbishing the resort.
Yes.
And it's set to launch soon.
Some of it they're doing in stages. The opening is in stages. But what I heard was that because there's also a new gaming area capacity they're looking at that will fill up about 3 floors. So that's like new gaming capacity that could also be new income from that. And the new things that are coming up, the projects, they have a retail as well. So all these new projects, they're going to open in stages next month. So if you track the history of like gaming group stocks, before there's an opening of new projects, the stock will run. Mm-hmm. There are a few
with the anticipation of shareholders that the earnings will improve.
Yes,
of the company.
Yes,
okay.
And like more visitors are coming. Yeah,
and also think that a major theme for these gaming companies is really a massive rebranding from gambling to other things, right? To meetings, to theme parks, to resorts, and
leisure.
So on.
Yeah,
to take that focus off gambling a little bit, which is kind of stigmatized in Malaysia.
And something for everyone, I guess. So you can bring the family up there and do things as well together. Yeah, I think. And also, I think when I spoke to some analysts, they highlighted the return of the Chinese tourists. China. That could also be a factor.
So how many... So I'm reading your article here. It says that it's estimated Chinese tourists account for about 4% of Genting Highlands visitor arrivals. But you're... analysts are expecting that this number could breach the 1 million mark. So more and more Chinese tourists. Also, I think Singaporean tourists will flock to Genting Highlands.
That's what they anticipate. And also that partly has to do with the ringgit.
Of course.
Cheap for them, right? So yeah, perhaps that's what they say. But an analyst actually went up to Genting to Kepo a bit during the Golden Week.
What is the Golden Week? I read that.
October
what is that?
1st to 7th.
Yeah, it's one of the few Chinese holidays that they have where they take leave for the entire week. Yeah. So it's really a time for massive crowds, massive queues at all the public transportation.
Genting was one of the places that they were there.
Okay, there you go. So I guess with expectations of higher Chinese tourists here in Malaysia, Genting Highlands perhaps quite poised to receive more footfall from that. Okay, 9:56 right now. A big thank you to Joyce Goh
for
being on the show today. That was Joyce Goh, Associate Editor with The Edge Media Group. News coming up at 10. Thanks for listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.